Now, when we want to illustrate a point, we often will search through life around us and find something similar, something familiar to both you and the one you're trying to talk to. And that point helps illustrate, that illustration helps make the point that you're trying to make more understandable. It helps a lot to be able to pick out something both you and the person you're talking to are familiar with. And to make those points a lasting impression on somebody, we need to be familiar with the illustration. For example, we find in Matthew, we find Jesus giving an illustration of a woman cleaning a house because she'd lost a coin. That's something we're all familiar with. We've all been there. I've lost things and had to go straighten up the office trying to find something because I know eventually I'll find it if I just get enough straightened up. Usually I can find it before I get done. So my office is always in a mess. But we've all been there. We've done that type of thing. Or the illustration of a man with two sons, one who's rude and refuses to do what he's told, but then later changes his mind. The other tells his dad what he wants to hear, but then goes off and doesn't do it. That causes us to say, well, you know, I know kids like that. I've seen that happen before. And it sticks in our mind. I'm a dog owner. Love my pet. There are numerous characteristics about him that I enjoy. Makes him enjoyable, but I have to admit there are some characteristics of dogs. They're not that good. That's the nature of what a dog is. In fact, that's what we're going to talk about today is dogs. Because dogs are mentioned in the Bible, and we need to understand the point that's being made. Dogs are an animal that breed has been domesticated fairly early. We find mention of it in Job chapter 30. Job 30 and in verse 1. It says, but now those younger than I mock me, whose father I disdain to put the dog with the dogs of my flock. Job's mentioning that he had guard dogs. And he says certain people he wouldn't even trust as much as he would trust his own dogs to guard his flock. And so what we find out is that dogs were domesticated. They were used for purposes of guarding sheep and guarding flocks. But there were also problems with dogs that happened early on, because back in those days there was no leash laws. You didn't find dog catchers. There wasn't a humane society to deal with strays that were unwanted. And so oftentimes in ancient cities you would find packs of stray dogs wandering the streets, living off basically the refuse dumps, ready to eat anything they could find that was edible because nobody else was feeding them. In Psalm 59, and in verse 14, it says, they return at evening, they howl like a dog, and go around the city. They wander about for food and growl that they are not satisfied. He's mentioning the problem that they often had in most ancient cities. They had strays growling at people, looking for food, constantly hungry because they never got enough to eat, basically causing life to be a little bit difficult. One of the more unpleasant things is oftentimes in the aftermath of war. They would appear because they were hungry. And so in Psalm 68, in verse 23, it says, your foot shall scatter them in blood. The tongue of your dogs may have its portion from your enemies. And what he's saying is that they came out and started chewing on available food. In 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 11, Here it says, anyone belonging to Jeroboam who dies in the city, the dogs will eat. And he who dies in the field, the birds of heaven will eat, for the Lord has spoken it. And again, it's because there were strays that weren't being fed. And one more is in Jeremiah 15. Jeremiah 15 and in verse 3. And I shall appoint over them four kinds of doom, declares the Lord. The sword to slay, the dogs to drag off, the birds of the sky and the beasts of the earth to devour and destroy. So while people had uses for dogs, in general, most people didn't like dogs in those days. They weren't kept necessarily just for domesticated pets. They either had a use like a guard dog, which didn't use, again, if you met up with a stray dog, you didn't want to necessarily go up to him because you don't know what he's guarding. Or it might be a stray at the total point in which you, again, don't know how it's going to behave. Most people did not like dogs. In fact, they would throw stones or swing sticks at a dog, growling dog especially, just to chew it away, get rid of it. Goliath mentions this. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, when he accuses Israel of having contempt for him, he says in 1 Samuel 17 and verse 43, and the Philistines said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods, saying, you're treating me just like a dog nobody wants. I mean, you know, yes, he's the growling dog that's scaring everybody, and somebody's coming at him with sticks to shoo him off. So you're treating me with contempt by sending out this little boy. And the problem was that even if you had a stray dog, they could turn on you at any time. In Matthew chapter 7, and in verse 6, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 6, do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. This part of the breed and nature of dogs, especially ones that you don't own. They can turn at any time, even if you feed them. If something that's taken into mind, they could turn. We still have breeds today that's what some of the things they're notable for. People keep saying, oh, they're nice dogs, but the problem is, every once in a while, one of them turns. And you just don't know, and that's the illustration that's being used by Jesus here. There's an interesting statement in Revelation. It'll probably make the little kids sad. But in Revelation 22, Revelation 22, verse 14, said, blessed are those who wash the robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, the sorcerers, the immoral persons, the murderers, and adulterers, and everyone who loves and practices lying. Now, he's not talking about physical dogs here, but he's using dogs as an illustration. There are no dogs in heaven, is the point. And yeah, I know there's a song in the movie that says all dogs go to heaven. Not true. Wouldn't be true anyway, because they don't have spirits to go to heaven. But what he's pointing out here is that dogs, and he's using it as a illustration of the characteristic of certain people who act and behave like dogs, won't go to heaven. Well, what is it about dogs that would make it such that you would use that as an illustration of people to say they won't go to heaven? Well, one of the problems is a guard dog who doesn't bark is worthless, isn't it? In Isaiah chapter 56, Isaiah 56 and verse 10, His watchmen are blind. All of them know nothing. All of them are dumb dogs unable to bark. Dreamers lying down who love to slumber. And dogs are greedy. They are not satisfied. They are shepherds who have no understanding. They have all turned their own way. Each one is to his unjust gain, to the last one. Here's referring to the leaders of Israel. And what he's charging them is being lazy like dogs. Now, I want a dog, and it's true. Dogs tend to sleep most of the time. They're up pretty often, but give them half a chance, and they go to sleep. And what his point is, if a dog's on duty and supposed to be guarding, and it doesn't bark because it's busy sleeping, it's a worthless dog. And what he's referring to the leaders is that they were worthless because they weren't sounding warnings. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 17. Son of man, I have appointed you a watchman to the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, warn them from me. And he goes on to explain that if you don't give this warning, you're going to be held accountable. And that was the problem in Israel. There were leaders among Israel that were not sounding the warning, even though they saw problems. There were people that were avoiding their responsibility to tell the people that they were in sin and they needed to get out of it. In Isaiah chapter 58, Isaiah chapter 58, and in verse 1, cry aloud, do not hold back, raise your voice like a trumpet, and declare to my people their transgressions, and to the house of Jacob their sins. God wants to broadcast that people have been sinning. They need to know. You don't get people out of sin by not telling them about sin. And unlike dogs, children of God are to be diligent people, workers, hard workers, using them most of their time. In Hebrews chapter 6, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 11, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. It's only by exercising diligence, by working hard, making most of your time, not being lazy, that we can reach heaven. But back when we read in Isaiah 56, verses 10 and 11, verse 11 especially talked about another characteristic of dogs. They tend to be greedy. Dogs will wolf down their food real rapidly. If we have to make sure for our little dog that we cut up his food in small bites. My wife's very careful about that because he'll try swallowing it whole. That's just the way dogs are. And what that's used for is a reference to the leaders of Israel who are running rapidly after game. They'll just snap and grab up anything they can make a profit off of. It's also mentioned in 1 Peter, saying that our leaders, the elders within churches, are not to act in this way. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness. Leading God's people is not a means for snapping up quick profits. That's not what it's about. That didn't come close to describing it. We cannot act like dogs in that sense. And dogs also have disgusting habits. For example, if a dog eats something that disagrees with him, or like my little dog when he eats something too fast or too much, he has a tendency to vomit it back up. If that wasn't disgusting enough, you'll often try to eat it again. Most dogs don't, somehow doesn't get in their minds that if it wasn't good the first time, doesn't mean if you eat it the second time, it'll get better. That becomes an illustration. Take a look at Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26 and verse 11. Like a dog that returns to his vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. Foolish people act just like dogs. They repeat the same mistake, never stopping to think, well, there's a reason why it was a mistake in the first place. But somehow they think, well, if we do it again, maybe it'll work better this time. I think you've all seen it. How many people have lost oodles of money at the gambling casinos? But they'll go back and try it again because maybe this time they'll win. People do that all the time. You can think of thousands of illustrations of foolish people who try the same thing over and over again, thinking, well, maybe next time it will work. Peter uses it for the same purpose in 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2 uses the same illustration. In verse 22, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, it has happened to them according to the true proverb. A dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow after washing returns to the wallowing in its mire. Some people leave sin just to turn around and go right back to it. Now a dog who vomits feels better, but he turns around and goes right back to what made him ill. Same way with a sow in this case is talking about. You wash it up, you can clean it up. First opportunity that the pig has is go right back into the mud. There are people like that as far as regards to sin. We show them the way of righteousness. They clean up their act for a little bit. They're feeling better about themselves because they got rid of their sins. And the next thing you know, they're right back into it. Seen that happen many times. Some people are like dogs in that sense. Now there's another problem dogs have, characteristic of it, and that is that dogs have unbridled lust. Especially an unneutered male dog. They're disposed to mate anywhere and with anything when they get to the proper age. They have absolutely no restraint. It's embarrassing. Brought our dog over to somebody's house once and instantly wanted to try mating. And no, you know, drag him off. So nice to get him neutered. But a lot of people act like that. There are people who show no restraint and they have no compunction against abnormal sexual relations. In fact, they are called dogs in the scriptures. In Deuteronomy 23, and it's about this unbridled lust with basically anything. Deuteronomy 23, verse 17. None of the daughters of Israel shall be a cult prostitute, nor shall any of the sons of Israel be a cult prostitute. You shall not bring the hire of a harlot or the wages of a dog into the house of the Lord your God for any votive offering, for both of these are an abomination to the Lord your God. To hear the reference to the dog is a man who sells himself for sex. What we would today call a homosexual. They were referred to as dogs. And the point of being made is they have unbridled lust. They don't restrain themselves. And the point Moses is making is God's not going to accept offerings from wicked people. Over in Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs 15 and verse 8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. See, some people get this idea that if they offer something to the Lord, it becomes right. Offering worship to God doesn't give you a license to sin. In fact, that says, come online to the harlot gate of the naive young man in Proverbs chapter 7, verses 14 through 15. I was due to offer peace offerings. Today I paid my vows. Therefore I come out to meet you and to seek your presence earnestly, and I found you. There are religions that practice that. Catholicism is known for that. You have to pay up certain penance and then you're free. And while the official teaching in church is, no, you don't do that. That's the way a lot of Catholics act. I remember that from my childhood. A lot of my friends thought, hey, I'm going to go get drunk this weekend because I've gone to confession. It's not a right. Just because you offer, in their sense, worship to God doesn't make it right. Doesn't give permission. The reason for bringing that up is to show you that those things still happen today. It wasn't just Israel. People still have that type of attitude. Ill-gotten gains don't bring honor to God when they're given to him. And that's why he's saying, if you know, money, people make money from sinful things like prostitution, it's sinful. It doesn't make it become honorable just because you gave it to God. Now, we already mentioned that dogs can turn on you. We looked at that in Matthew 7, verse 6. Even if you feed a stray and accept your food, it doesn't mean he won't bite you. And there's some people like that. They're friendly as long as they're getting something from you. But they'll quickly turn on you if they see they got a benefit to themselves for other purposes. And what Jesus' point is, there is not worth giving what is holy and what is good to people who basically are only in it for the gain. They don't appreciate it. Back in Galatians chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 15, even though dogs aren't directly mentioned, it's talking about the same thing. Galatians chapter 5, verse 15. If you bite and devour one another, take care lest you be consumed by one another. Point's the same. There are people within the church who will, basically, as long as they're getting something out of it, and they see that it's benefiting them, they'll be nice. Give them half a chance and they'll turn on you. Especially if they think they get some benefits elsewhere. James tells us the reason for it is because they're focused on personal pleasures. It's always what I want. James chapter 4, starting with verse 1. James chapter 4, starting with verse 1. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source of your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. And you are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Therein lies the source of it. People just thinking about what they want on their own personal pleasures. As long as they're getting what they want, they're happy. If they don't get what they want, they'll turn on you. Because all their focus is on what they want. And so this idea that dogs can turn on you is sometimes referred to as false teachers. Take a look at Matthew 7, verse 15. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Not just any old dogs that are big, mean dogs that are hungry. They're wolves. False prophets are like that. See, such was Alexander. He turned on Paul. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 15, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. But be on guard against him yourself, for he is vigorously opposing our teachings. Paul, basically from the hints or indication, is that he had some trust in Alexander. He thought he knew where Alexander stood, and then Alexander turned on him, and it hurt. That's oftentimes what hurts the most, is when you depend on somebody, and then all of a sudden they turn on you. And so we have warnings to beware of false teachers. Take a look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 2. Beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of the false circumcision. Beware of those people that will turn on you, who are in it for their own personal pleasures. Because you can't trust them. See, another problem with dogs is they like to run in packs. And a dog running in a pack is worse than a dog all by himself. See, they get this idea that, well, if everybody else is barking, I get to bark too. And if somebody else decides to lunge, then I can lunge too. And they just feed off each other. Not for the better, but for the worse. When David prophesied about the death of Christ, he talked about the mob, and he talked about them as a pack of dogs. In Psalm 22 and verse 16. For dogs have surrounded me, a band of evildoers has encompassed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. And look down in verse 20. Deliver my soul from the sword, my only life from the power of the dog. That's the way a lot of people act. When they're in a group, when they're in a mob, they all let somebody else do the thinking. And if problem comes down to is everybody's letting somebody else do the thinking. So guess what happens? Nobody's using their head. And so each emboldens the other to do wrong. Because you see somebody else doing wrong and then you add on top of it. And mobs tend to go from bad to worse. People that would normally be polite and kind will trample somebody else at a soccer game because there's a mob going on. They don't think. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 1. The writer in Proverbs tried to warn us and his kids about this very idea. Proverbs 1, verse 10. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, even whole as those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious wealth. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Throw in your lot with us. We shall all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed blood. Indeed, it is useless to spread the net in the eyes of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who gains by violence. It takes away the life of his possessors. What allows these, give the impression of youngsters, gangs, and we still have them today. Youth running around on streets, and for them, I can almost tell you, 99.9% of them, they don't run around helping little old ladies across the street. What do? They're involved in violence. Violence then breeds other violence. They're always constantly at war with each other, barking at each other, just like packs of dogs. Because all they do is allow the pack to make the decisions for them. That's why in Revelation 22, let's go back and look at it again one more time. Revelation 22, verse 14. It said, blessed are those who wash the robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter the gates into the city. Outside are dogs, and the sorcerers, and the immoral persons, and the murderers, and the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices lying. What he's saying is outside there are no dogs in heaven. Because all those characteristics about dogs that just make them wrong. Because those are not characteristics people ought to have. Rather, God describes his people as sheep in Psalm 100. Starting with verse 3. Psalm 100, verse 3. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. God wants us to be sheep, not dogs. And so the thought is, where are we going to spend eternity? Are we going to act just like animals, especially like dogs? Are we going to act like God's followers, like his sheep, appreciative of all the blessings he gives us? I hope you think about these things. If there's anyone here tonight who wishes to become a child of God, there is no better time than right now to put on Christ. And if there is anyone here who is a child of God, would like the prayers of the brethren on the behalf. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song of the selection.